Going to be spending a good bit of our time this morning in Revelation chapter 3, if you'd like to place your marker there in your Bible. Certainly it's good that we can be together. As has been stated, we're happy for those who are visiting with us. We're happy that you're here. Those of us who worship here regularly, it's certainly a blessing to be able to come together and to worship God, to praise Him, to glorify Him. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, John, as he is seeing this vision and as being revealed, Christ is talking to the church at Laodicea. And if I were to ask you, I'm not asking for a response verbally, but to ask you what the problem was, or what was the major problem, or what was one of the problems that existed at the Church of Laodicea, probably most of us would say that it was a lukewarm church. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. And what we see in this particular writing is some things pertaining to members. Of course, the church is made up of members, people, and things that they were doing that they're told not to do, some things they were instructed to do, so that they no longer be lukewarm. When you think of the idea of lukewarm, the Lord hates that. He despises that. As a matter of fact, as you study through the Bible, what you understand is, in serving the Lord, it is an all or nothing proposition with the Lord. We either serve Him or we serve the devil. You can't serve two masters, and we'll be looking at that here in just a minute. Wholehearted service is necessary in order to please the Lord. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Not only that, but I think of Luke chapter 14, verse 33. "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, he cannot be my disciple." Forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. Again, Jesus says, you have to love me with all of your heart. You have to be willing to forsake all to be my disciple. And so half-hearted, half-baked, as it were, lukewarm devotion and service is disgusting to our Lord. As a matter of fact, in the reading, the Bible just simply says He will spew you out of His mouth. And that's what He told the Christians who were made up the church at Laodicea. There's no middle ground with the Lord. Elijah makes a statement in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. He came to the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." And then it says, "But the people answered him not a word." We have to make up our minds. Are we going to follow God or not? It is a decision that has to be made. Again, God doesn't tolerate middle ground. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon has to do with material things. I appreciate so very much Brother Himmel's prayer. And, you know, I hope we recognize that material things are exactly that. And if our life is about material things, if it's just about storing up and having, what folly it is, because any number of things can happen just to wipe it away. We can't serve God and material things. God will not have us as part-time Christians. He expects us to give our life. That is what He demands of us if we're going to serve Him. What I want to do in the very beginning part here of our lesson is to look at the needs of the lukewarm. And it was the lukewarm here in Revelation 3 who said, I have need of nothing. Let me just mention two or three things that the lukewarm needs. The lukewarm need to hear the Lord. That's the first place it all begins. As a matter of fact, in the 20th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So one of the things that we need to hear is His knocking. And when Jesus, the idea of Jesus knocking, He's wanting us to listen. He's eager to save us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so as we listen to the Lord, we need to be hearing Him say, I'm giving you opportunity to be saved. I'm long-suffering. I'm being long-suffering toward you so that you can be saved. We need to hear His voice. That is, we need to hear His instructions and His admonitions. The Hebrew writer records in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? We need to listen to what Jesus says. We need to give heed to what He says. And if we don't, we'll find ourselves in a situation where we are slipping away. You know, the unfortunate thing is that too often a person who is lukewarm seldom studies the Bible for himself. And I don't mean just read the Bible. I mean studies the Bible. Spends time trying to determine what is it that the Holy Spirit is revealing or did reveal. What was the meaning that He was trying to get across? Meditating on the Word of God. It's unfortunate, but many times those who are lukewarm, they rely on someone else to tell them. Maybe a preacher to spoon feed them, or a teacher to somehow tell them what they need to do. Someone who is lukewarm needs to heed the Lord's discipline. Did you notice and think about what was said there in chapter 3, verse 19 of Revelation? Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why does the Lord chasten us? Because He loves us. In Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 5, the illustration is used with God and His children and a father and his physical children. Beginning in verse 5 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Here's why. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so the first thing that the lukewarm needs is to hear the Lord. Hear Him knocking, pleading for His obedience. Need to hear His voice, that is His instructions. Follow His instructions. Need to heed His discipline. He disciplines us because He loves us. Here's the second thing the lukewarm need. The lukewarm need an understanding of themselves. An understanding of their spiritual condition. And as the Lord describes the lukewarm here in Revelation chapter 3, they're neither hot nor are they cold. What a person who is lukewarm needs to understand is they're not hot so they can do the most good. A person who is fervent, on fire, that's the person who is capable of doing the most good. If they were hot, they would be able to save themselves and to save others. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul, in writing to Timothy, he says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." If a person was hot, then they'd be able to save not only themselves, but they'd be able to save others as well. If a person was hot, they could effectively influence others. I think of the statement Peter made in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Now, notice what he says. He's not saying that if a woman will be submissive to her husband, that in every case, she'll be able to win her husband. What he says is, "Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." What Peter's saying is that we need to live the kind of life we should, so that we can influence others. He's talking about wives toward their unbelieving husband here. And when a person is not hot, they're not able to influence effectively others. But he also says they're not cold. Or he says they're neither hot nor cold. You know, if a person is cold, they do the least harm to the cause of Christ. That may sound harsh, kind of unkind, but you know, that's just the truth. A person who's cold spiritually, everybody recognizes that. Very seldomly is a person like that mistaken for a Christian. And a person who is cold is easier to reach than someone who is lukewarm, because the person who is lukewarm, as we see in Revelation chapter 3, they think everything is good with themselves. And so here, the person who's not hot, the person who's not cold, but he says the person who is lukewarm, that's the person he's talking about. Not hot, not cold, but lukewarm. And that person who's lukewarm, they're not in a position to save themselves nor to save anyone else either. A lukewarm neighbor cannot help his neighbor become a strong Christian. A lukewarm parent cannot help his children become strong Christians. A lukewarm church cannot help the community become Christians. And a person who is lukewarm may be hot on some points, but cold on others. And if that's the kind of life that we're living, then we cannot be effective in trying to influence others. A person who is lukewarm needs to understand their real needs. And they're told in verses 17 and 18, because you say, here's what a lukewarm person says, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Here's what they think of themselves. But the Lord says, here's really the way you are. And then He says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eye with eye salve, that you may see. What is the problem with someone who is lukewarm? Very likely, that person thinks of their needs only in social or economic or temporal terms. That's the way the world lives. And if we're not careful, we can be caught up in that. And we can be so influenced by that. And a person who is lukewarm, oftentimes they think of the church as a means to fulfill these needs that they have that are social and economic and temporal. Church attendance is a social event rather than a spiritual exercise. Church affiliation is determined by social and temporal advantages. Church loyalty depends on how he perceives these needs being met. And you know, I think we can look out in the world and say, you know, I can see that. The Lord is writing to one of His churches. He's not talking about the world out here. He's talking about me and you. And as I read this, Al and I were talking between classes. Anytime I read a Bible passage, I'm going to tell you who I think about. I think about me. Is the Bible describing me? Well, I know He's describing Christians. So what I know is it could be me. And I need to be so conscious of what God's Word teaches and the influences that are around me. Let me suggest a third thing that the lukewarm need, and that is the lukewarm need enthusiasm for God. Back to verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. We need to be zealous. And again, the idea is be on fire. If I can get excited about anything, I ought to be able to get excited. I should get excited about the Word of God, what it teaches pertaining to my salvation and the salvation of others, and I need to be sharing that with others. I need to be zealous as I serve God. Now, our enthusiasm must be regulated by knowledge. You remember what is stated in Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Paul says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. As we are zealous, that zeal is to be guided by a knowledge of God's Word. Zeal without knowledge is very dangerous. Unregulated zeal can make havoc of the church. Saul. Who would question the zeal of Saul? But the problem was, he didn't know what he needed to know. He was zealous. He was doing what he thought he ought to do. He was just wrong. His knowledge was lacking. So unregulated zeal can make havoc of the church. Unregulated zeal is like a car without a steering wheel or without brakes. Dad rides with me. Well, he rides with somebody wherever he goes. And a lot of times he's riding in that front seat over there. And what he's learned is the brakes over there don't work and the steering wheel doesn't work on that driver's side. And if we have zeal that's unregulated, it's just like a car without a steering wheel or without brakes. And what unregulated zeal does, it produces motivational hype rather than teaching. I'm going to share what Kathy told me. She said, have you seen on Facebook this morning? I said, no. She said, there's on Facebook where a baptism by water slide. I don't know if I've got it exactly right. But she said, what this church has done, they have put in this water slide that goes into the pool and they're baptizing people and somebody's standing up there saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as they go to, woo! That is what, I just shake my head. I just cannot believe that. I can believe it. I can believe it. Because when we don't need authority to do one thing the Bible teaches, we don't need authority to do anything we want to do. We just do whatever we want to do. And I wish I could say that that only affected people of the world, denominations in the world, but it affects God's people too. We need to have enthusiasm toward good works. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Titus concerning Christ, he said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We need to have enthusiasm toward good brethren. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear them witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Zeal. We need to have an enthusiasm for God. And then a fourth thing that the lukewarm need, and that is repentance before God. Again, in verse 19 of Revelation chapter 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Repentance is a change of mind, and what lukewarmness is just indifference. And the person who is lukewarm needs to repent of indifference. How do we feel toward God, toward His Word, toward the work that He's given the church, that's us, to do? You know, if it's just kind of, well, How strongly do we feel, and Brother Binkley presented a lesson Wednesday night on edification. How strongly do we feel about edifying others here spiritually? That's our responsibility. What am I doing to edify others, to build others up spiritually? And what I'm getting, wanting to get us to think about, and that us includes me, you know, is it just, I know really ought to be doing that, but that's indifference. That's lukewarmness. The person who is lukewarm needs to repent of indifference. The person who is lukewarm needs to produce fruit of repentance. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to be abounding in the work of the Lord, bringing forth fruit that indicates we've changed. The lukewarm needs to repent before God spews him out. Verse 16, "So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And the picture that is so clearly set before us is that a person who is indifferent, a person who is lukewarm, that person makes God sick. Just nauseates him. And again, I remind myself and I remind us, he was writing to Christians. That's me. That's you. And what we need to do is to examine our lives. And if we see that we are lukewarm, we need to change. And let me just say this. It's hard, oftentimes, for someone who's lukewarm to see themselves as lukewarm. Because their thinking is just like the thinking that we read here in Revelation chapter 3. Rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. They think everything's okay. But in reality, if that is our condition, we are wretched and poor and miserable and blind. If you've been lukewarm, why not repent of it? As a matter of fact, if you've been lukewarm, you need to repent of it. And if you repent of that, then what you can do is you can become zealous and you can save yourself and you can save others as well. And that's exactly what the Lord wants of us. May the Lord help us to see ourselves as He sees us, and to repent of any sin that we have in our life. And help us to be zealous toward Him. We're going to sing the song that has been selected. It may be that someone needs in a public way to render obedience to the Lord. If that is the case, we would be thrilled to help you in any way as we stand and as we sing.